Church. It's a real privilege to be speaking to you this morning. And I pray that as I speak to you, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Lydia, and I've been coming to Bow Church for a little bit under 4 years now. And yeah, it's just a real delight to be able to speak with you all today. So we're nearly at the end of our 50 days of prayer, which started at Easter and will end next week when we celebrate Pentecost. And I've loved that this time studying some of this great biblical prayers is that we get to have a deeper understanding of all that God is. I love how these prayers have revealed more of his character and more of how we can relate to him, and particularly in this case, as we look at Paul's prayer today, we can receive and be blessed by the same prayer written for the church in Corinth many, many years ago. We can be blessed by it today. And Andy pointed out to me this week that this prayer, often known as the Grace, is one of the most famous prayers in the Christian world. And I believe this is the case because it so succinctly and beautifully encapsulates the character of God. He is the God of grace and love and fellowship. And it also invites us to not only know these truths with our minds, but declares that they may be with us. We get to receive his grace, his love, and his fellowship, which is a tangible everyday experience. It changes how we live, how we interact with God, ourselves, and others. And we as Christians believe that what is written in this book, the Bible, is living and active, meaning God speaks through the words written and invites us to join in the very conversation that he's having with us today. And we are invited today in this very moment to listen to what he has to say to us. So as we unpack this prayer and passage, I'd love to encourage you to pray right now that God will speak to you and do his transformative work in your heart and life this morning. Amen. So for some textual context, the grace comes at the end of 2 Corinthians, that Becky just read, and it's written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, which had many, many problems. The church was deeply divided, with cliques of people following different leaders, and there was lots of tricky relational issues. They're all kicking off, and one of the cases was like a man sleeping with his mum or his stepmom, so it was very, very, very messy and quite dark. And ultimately, they just misunderstood basic Christian doctrine. Many believed that what they did with their actions and their bodies didn't really matter as long as their souls were saved. And so their behavior showed that they didn't really grasp what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And as a result, they weren't really living lives as if they were following Jesus. So Paul invites them once again in this letter to humble themselves before the love of God. It must have been very tempting to write off such a church, but Paul didn't. He wrote to them and visited them in the hope that they would see their errors and start to live the fullness of life on offer to them in Jesus. Paul himself had had a wild and transformational experience of the grace of God, and it's why I believe he speaks about it a lot in the Bible. And so I'm sure this motivated some of his passion for the church in Corinth to be transformed into Jesus' likeness too. And the brief background on Paul is that before he was an apostle and follower of Jesus, he was actually a Pharisee. And he dedicated himself to destroying Christianity, which he believed to be a dangerous religious sect. He thought that Jesus and his followers were the enemy, and he sought out to destroy them. And then one day, when he was on his way to imprison more Christ followers in a place called Damascus, the risen Jesus appeared to him on the road and asked him pretty plainly why he was fighting against him. And the encounter was so profound that it completely changed Paul's life. And Jesus then commissions him to represent him to Israel and to the nations, which is a massive plot twist. And you can read about that in Acts 9. I'm just giving a little brief context because we've got a lot more to talk about. Paul is quite rightly stunned, obviously, and speechless, and he ends up in Damascus. But now, instead of imprisoning Christians, he's like joined them. He is a Christian. He's speaking of the good news of Jesus. It's quite an amazing story. And so when he's talking about the grace of God, he really understands what he's saying. His life doesn't make sense without it. And yeah, he was very aware that Jesus had appeared to him and invited him into a relationship with him when he was actually on his way to imprison Jesus's friends. He could not get over the fact that his salvation was completely undeserved, and that if Jesus had given him what he had deserved, he would probably be in hell for actively opposing the works of God. And so that wasn't the case. He did receive the grace of Jesus and was then transformed by this encounter. And this is the good news of the gospel, and it's on offer to everyone, no matter what they've done. So the word grace, which means receiving what you don't deserve, aptly sums up what Paul experienced and what motivates him to keep appealing and pleading with the Corinthians to grasp the message and receive Jesus's gift of grace and new life on offer to them too. To help us understand grace a bit more, Paul writes in Romans 5, 6 to 8, I think it's coming up. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, or in some translations it says weak, Jesus died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is ridiculous love. This doesn't make sense to our human minds. But this is the love that Paul is referring to when he prays that the love of God will be with the church in Corinth. This is love that is inescapable. It isn't something that we can earn or ever lose. And on Thursday, there was a prayer gathering here at church, and we experienced God's presence really deeply. And I would highly recommend coming to the next one. At one point in the evening, while we were praying for one another, someone shared with me that they felt reminded of their favorite song, which is all about the love of God. And the song is entitled On and On by House Fires, and the lyrics are going to come up on the screen. They go like this: where can I run from your presence? Where can I flee from you? Even if I hide on the highest mountain, you are there. Even if I fall to the deepest darkness, love surrounds me still. There is no ending to your love that holds on and won't let go, love that won't leave me on my own. And I think we're going to sing that later too. But the person who shared this with me, one, they didn't know that I was going to use that, so it was very helpful, so thank you. And I thought that these lyrics perfectly describe the love that Paul is praying for. I believe that there are some in this room this morning who do need a fresh encounter with the love of God. Or perhaps there are some that want to receive it for the first time. And if that's the case, I'd love to pray for you today. I also believe that it was the Holy Spirit who is at work on Thursday evening at our prayer meeting, gathering, whatever you want to call it. And by his kindness and helpfulness, he reminded the person sharing this song with me of the truth of those lyrics, which ministered to her in that moment, but now is ministering to us as a body today. And this is a great example of what it is to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because she didn't know at all that I was trying to piece together a sermon about God's love. So when Paul talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, he means friendly association. He means friendship with the Spirit of God. And Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in John 14:16, where he tells the disciples that when he dies, he will leave behind the Holy Spirit, whom he calls the Paraclete, which is a Greek word, which means the one who's called alongside. There's not really one word to really sum up the meaning of this word, but some scholars have translated the meaning to be comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, and advocate. And in Haley Braun's book called Surrender to the Holy Spirit, she makes the point that Jesus, in John 14:16, shares how he sent another paraclete, which does not mean someone different, but the one the same as. The word describes that Jesus himself had been the disciples' comforter, helper, counselor, and advocate while on earth. But now, when he is physically leaving them, when he goes to the cross, he promises to send another just like him, and it will be the Spirit of God. But more on that next week as we celebrate Pentecost, and I promised Andy I wouldn't do many spoilers, so sorry. But I just wanted to take a moment to talk about what it really means to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because I think this is one of the best, if anything, the best news that we can have, the best gift. And I want to talk about what it means to me and how I experience it in my own life. It's meant for me that I experience the friendship, the closeness, and the intimacy of God in very real and beautiful ways. And it makes me more connected with those around me. I find that I'm able to love others like Christ does and see things with his mind because the Holy Spirit helps me do so. I'm not that kind, but with Jesus, he makes me kind. You get the point. So when Paul gives instruction to the church in Corinth in verse 11, where we started, to rejoice and to strive for full restoration and encourage one another and be of one mind and live in peace, I don't think it's a coincidence that he prays, "And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you," a few verses later, because there's no way we could ever do any of that without the Holy Spirit, because none of us are that nice. It's just the fact. And I really have found that to be the case. I found that life with the Spirit really has enabled me to connect and be one of one mind with people that I wouldn't naturally be one-minded with, if that's a word. And so I'd love to share some stories with you. I also want to make the point that life with the Spirit really isn't just reserved for the big dramatic moments in life. But the help and the fellowship of the Spirit has been at work in the most mundane and practical parts of life too, which is often the messy parts, like the relational parts. And one of those areas would be in times of conflict with friends who I dearly love. And I have countless examples of moments where there have been a rift in friendship, where I've hurt someone and they've hurt me, and I've prayed and God's revealed where I've hurt them, and then we've talked it through and become of one mind. An example of this was a few years ago, actually. I was in America, and I was catching up with my brother-in-law, who had asked me about my friendships back in London. And I remember kind of saying, "Yeah, they're great. And then he started digging, and I was like, "Well, there is one friendship that I'm finding tricky because they'd hurt me." And actually, instead of dealing with it, I'd just done the great British thing of like keeping on and like not really addressing it. I'd never told her that she'd hurt me, but I'd kind of resented her for it. So it caused a rift in our friendship. But when my brother-in-law asked me about it, I was unable to really process it, which left me actually feeling quite devastated. So the next day I prayed, and I was quite distressed, and I was praying all day about this friendship. And then the next day, out of the blue, we hadn't been in contact. I was in America, she was in London. She just called me, and she said, "I was just in the garden, and I was praying, and God said to me, I need to apologize for all the things that I did. And it was just crazy, you know, it's just amazing. That is fellowship with the Spirit, that we then had peace and reconciliation in our friendship, and we're great friends to this day. So the kindness of God is so evident in this fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And another example would be in my own family. I mean, there's so many experiences where I could share with you where the Holy Spirit's been our greatest helper. And my sister also lives in America because she's married to my brother-in-law in America. And a few years ago, she actually had like a really horrible situation where she had like a burst cyst, and she was in like excruciating pain. And she called my mum. This is before she was married, so she was kind of alone in the city in America studying. And she called my mum at 4 a.m., her local time, and she was crying out in pain and asking for help because she was a bit concerned about how expensive ambulances are in America and didn't really know what to do, and she'd never been in a situation like this before. So she's asking my mum, and my mum was in Scotland, so she felt completely hopeless and like helpless and couldn't really do anything but pray. And so she did. She just prayed and comforted my sister over the phone. And when she was praying, she sensed God say, connect with this woman who you'd met a few conferences and had some distant friendship with, but lives in the same city as Abby. Now, reminder, it's 4 a.m. in America. So my mum had to do the awkward thing of calling a woman that she barely knew at 4 a.m. But it's the only thing she knew that God was maybe doing. So she calls this woman at this time it's like 4:30. But it turns out that this woman, who's also a follower of Jesus, had woken up at 4 a.m., had felt the Lord say, get dressed and put your shoes on, I've got something for you to do. So she gets out of bed, puts clothes on, puts shoes on, and my mum calls, and Chris is her name. She picks up and says, oh, hi, I was expecting something. I'm actually dressed and clothed. So the awkwardness was gone quickly. And she went and picked up my sister. And it's a long story, but basically now that woman's my sister's mother-in-law. So the Spirit does wonderful things. But that, you get the point. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is just, he is our helper. The Spirit is our helper and wants to solve the problems that we can't, and then adds flavor to it, like marriage, maybe. And then also, fellowship with the Spirit is often manifest in everyday lives and decision making. And an example of this would be, because it's very apt, because I'm talking to the church, how I basically decided and became co-leading a cedar group with Anna. And for those of you who don't know, cedar groups are like discipleship groups, midweek groups, where we spend time with one another, reading scripture and doing life with one another. So a year ago today, I was actually feeling pretty lonely, and I just left a job, I just moved house. I was actually quite at the outskirts of church. I wasn't part of a cedar group. And if I'm honest, I felt a bit bleak. I didn't really know what God was doing with my life, and I didn't feel very happy about it. But again, I ignored all of those feelings for a bit. And then at the end of summer last year, I went for a drink at the Coborn with Beatrix, and I was very moany, and I basically was complaining the whole time. And I said, I just feel a bit stuck and uninspired, and what I really want is God to just show me what he wants to do with my life, and whether he wants me to be part of this church. And if he wants me to be part of this church, he needs to make it clear what he wants me to do. And as I was complaining, Beatrix was like, why don't you join a cedar group? And I was like, I don't want to join a cedar group. But she was probably listening to the Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, I think I probably should join a seed group. And there was a part of me that was like, maybe I should lead one, but that's a bit like, I'm not even part of one. So it's a bit arrogant, isn't it? To be like, oh, my. Anyway. So I'm complaining. And then I say to Beatrix, well, in quite a stroppy way, well, God, if God really wants me to be part of a cedar group, then he needs to make me like bump into, let's say, Anna. So let's say if I'm meant to be in Anna's cedar group, then the Spirit of God will lead me to her. I'll bump into her, and then it will be really clear that we're meant to lead this thing together. And I said it in quite a sassy, like, whatever way. And then I left Beatrix, and on my way home, I realized I needed to go and pick something up at the Tesco just at the near Roman Road. And so I went that way, and guess who I bumped into? And guess what conversation we had? And I've never bumped into Anna on the street. So anyway, I thought I'd then invite Anna up and tell her side of the story so she can really explain also how she was in fellowship with the Holy Spirit in on her side of things.
Hello. So yeah, that same day, no, let's start a bit earlier. I was leading a cedar group, which was so great, with these amazing women. But I am like very forceful and like confident and authoritative when I speak. And most of these women were fairly new to faith. And so for several months, I'd been like, this group needs another experienced Christian. Otherwise, I will just happily continue and be like, this is what Christianity is. And I'm just one person. So I really need someone to lead it with me. But it didn't seem like there was someone who was there to do that. So anyway, I'm just praying that, and I'm praying it, and I'm not really expecting it to come true. And then on the day, I'd made plans that evening to actually meet Sam Brown, so both the Browns feature in the story. We were going to catch up in the Green Goose, so different beau pub, about a sermon I had recently preached and his feedback on that, which I'd asked for. And the Green Goose, if you know it, is right by the Idea Store, which is for some reason what libraries are called in Tower Hamlets. I had a book that I borrowed out from the library. I chronically borrow like 20 at a time, that I hadn't read yet, but I knew was overdue, and I knew I was going to a pub that was right by the library, and I didn't want to return this book, but really felt God say, bizarrely, take this book back. It's dishonest if you don't take this book back to the library. So I also, quite stroppy, was like, I guess I'll take this book back to the library. Had a drink with Sam, went to the library. The first very funny thing is that I put the book down to return it, and there was another copy of the book randomly just there for me to borrow, so I could return this one for the person who'd recalled it and pick up the same book again, so like God's sense of humor. And because I was there just opposite the Tesco, I walk out of the library and I'm like, oh, I need to like pick up a couple of bits. And I literally just walk to Tesco like this, and Lydia walks up like that. And we had never bumped into each other in the street before, despite living in the same area. And we were like, hi. And I think within 30 seconds, we were having a conversation about you joining my cedar group and leading it with me. It was the funniest thing.
Yeah. So I hope that it like gives an example of just, it's actually a bit boring. Like, you know, it's like a cedar group. Like, it's not that big of a deal, but actually for me, like the cedar group has brought me alive. Well, Jesus has brought me alive, but doing life with people, like I wasn't friends with Anna. We hadn't bumped into each other because like we didn't really do life with each other. Now we're really good friends. But more than that, we do this Jesus life together. So we're constantly praying for each other. We're seeing people come to know Jesus in our cedar group. And it's made my whole desire to know that God's using me, and my whole desire to know that I'm meant to be in this place. He's answered those prayers, but through other people, through the community that we've experienced. And it's all because of bumping, you know, saying a stroppy word to a friend at a pub and then bumping in, you know, this fellowship of the Spirit. The Spirit is orchestrating our lives. So before I close, I just want to share one more story, one more brief story of how the Holy Spirit is working in Bow Church. And it's actually Becky's story, who's at the back. And if you don't know Becky, you should get to know her. And she has many, many stories like this. And actually, I would encourage coffee and tea time for all of you to just start sharing your stories, because I know there's so many in this room, and it's so good to just talk about it. It really builds faith and encourages one another, which is what Paul's encouraging us to do. So anyway, Becky last year was praying and felt the Holy Spirit to telling her to fast. And she felt the Lord saying, fast Instagram, which is like, wow, wild. And she went up for anointing and prayer at the 10:30, so this service. And the person praying for her said, Becky, God is saying that you should fast. And when she'd had that direct confirmation, it was so encouraging to her that she had heard God correctly herself, and it gave her the confidence then to just give up Instagram, gave her the strength and the motivation. And when I asked her, Becky, why do you think God asked you to do that? What was the benefit? What happened? She said that the year of fasting completely renewed her mind, and that she was able to see things more from God's perspective. And because the person praying for her was also in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge that they had for Becky directly linked to what Holy Spirit was talking to Becky about. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you have, it's the most encouraging and intimate feeling in the whole world. That the God of the universe is speaking directly into your life, and that he cares about how we live our lives, even how we use social media. Because God knew that the way that social media was affecting Becky's mind, he wanted to help her, because he loves her. He cared about that very, very, in some ways, mundane detail. And yeah, Becky was so encouraged, she told me, by this word of knowledge. Like I said, it gave her confidence to fast, which has reaped beautiful outcomes for her and her walk with Jesus, and has massively blessed our community. So to close, I just simply want to speak the grace over you again and ask Father, Son, and Spirit to dwell with us as we ask God to draw close and transform our hearts and lives. And then we're going to go into a time of response, followed by communion, and then there'll be people at the back, myself included, who would love to pray for you. And you may want to know and experience more of God's grace or his love, or ask for his fellowship of the Holy Spirit to be with you, or you might want all of it, and that's okay too. But let me just echo this great prayer over us all again today. Perhaps you want to close your eyes and open your hands in a posture of receiving. So, Bow Church, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Mm-hmm.